deepest, darkest grooves, from the backwoods swamp where we hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a big, scary show.
This is Leonard Pickle with Honk Pond, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Nez from Dark Spectre Custom Couture, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show. Ta-da!
Hey, this is Shane Dabbs from Huntsville, Alabama, and Disturbia Haunted House, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Anita with Von Karen Productions, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Tom with Von Karen Productions, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
It's the Big Scary Show!
You're listening to the Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do!
This week, on a brand new Big Scary Show, we are mere days away from Transworld, and many of those in the haunt industry are packing up and getting their products ready for St. Louis. Others are finalizing their travel plans. Even more are wondering what to do after the show floor closes. The Big Scary Show has the answer to that by bringing in Shane Dabbs, the creator of the Insane Shane Party, and they discuss what you can expect from this very big social event happening at Transworld. In addition, we cover yet another convention by having Leonard Pickle of HauntCon on the show to discuss the ins and outs of this traveling convention that's touching down in the Lone Star State this year. The unknown scare actor makes you face your fears, such as the fear of missing any of these upcoming conventions. Storm manages to dig out from all the snow to deliver yet another rant in a haunt minute. The haunt rocker warms up your winter nights with some hot tunes. Badger brings you the news, sponsored by the National Haunters Convention. The Round Table of Terror goes into the importance of costumes with Nez Wilburn of Dark Spectre Custom Couture and the owners of Von Caron Productions. Tired of seeing flannel shirts and overalls in every haunt you visit? Give the Roundtable a listen. As a bonus, one very famous rock star is a fan of one of our guests' products. All this, plus more, only on The Big Scary Show.
Welcome, fans, to the February edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. As you may know, every month we give away a fabulous prize just for listening. Want to be our next winner? Here's how. Listen to the show and figure out the answer to the following question. What does Shane Dabbs think is the creepiest movie to this date? If you think you know the answer, send it in to contest@bigscaryshow.com and you could be a winner. This contest will run until midnight on Tuesday, March 5th. We'll only be taking the first 250 entrants, so get that answer in early. Good luck, and keep listening to The Big Scary Show. Once again, thank you to Screamline Studios for supplying these great prizes to our fans. Be sure to visit them at ScreamlineStudios.com.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so, you know, last week was entertaining. Hey, let's go outside and look at the asteroid. It's coming by close. That should be fun. Woohoo. Unless you're in Russia, where meteorites explode in the air, glass flying, people injured, fear and panic everywhere. And what does this prove to us? This proves that fear is cyclical. That's right. 50 years ago, we were afraid of asteroids and stuff falling from the sky all the time. Look at the original War of the Worlds. You know, they came down in meteorites. Balls of fire in the sky. Frightening thing back in the day. Even the original zombie outbreak in Night of the Living Dead was caused by a Venus probe crashing to the ground and, you know, close flybys of asteroids and things. So, you know, this fear has come back, find its way into modern society and pop culture. So that gives us a lot of hope. It gives us a lot of hope that maybe in 50 years, vampires won't be sparkly again. But what does this tell us for this year and how to be ahead of the curb? It means go back 50 years, break out some of the old videos, and you know what's a good place? Old books. Classic horror stuff can never go wrong. You know, being a resident of Rhode Island, I have to say Lovecraft by law, so, you know, you can never go wrong with any of that stuff. Go back, find some classic horror, because it's coming around again. And until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
Memphis Morticians. Halloween sucks. Halloween on the Big Scary Show.
Don't like evil folk, girl, but evil like the devil ever lost soul. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are just mere weeks away from the main kickoff of convention season, and we are going around talking to as many people as we can about their conventions, getting all the ins and outs, all the ups and downs, the who, what, where, when, why, sometimes W, I don't know, but we're hard and heavy in it, and one of my personal favorites, one of the first ones I ever went to as far as a nationally known full-scale haunted convention was HauntCon. I went to Milwaukee, I went down to Orlando, I've been to Louisville, Kentucky, I've been to Pittsburgh, and I think it's just a very cool concept that HauntCon travels all over the country. This year they are heading down to the Lone Star State, and in order to get everything HauntCon related, all the information you need, including some, you know, basically anything you want to know about HauntCon, we have on the phone the man responsible for HauntCon, Mr. Leonard Pickle. How are you today, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, love to have you. Love talking to you. It's great to hear from you again. You know, we've known each other for a few years, and we love HauntCon. So for basically the people who aren't too familiar with what's going on, this year you are traveling down to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and putting this on for your 10th anniversary. Congratulations on the Big Ten.
Looking forward to it.
Tell us what you've got going on down in Texas this year.
Well, as you know, we move to a different city every year, so it gives us a great opportunity to go out and see as many different haunted houses in different markets as we can. So we've gone into the Dallas-Fort Worth market. Of course, Texas is a huge haunt market, not quite as big as Ohio, but it's still got a lot of haunted houses in it. So it's given us a great opportunity to do really just see almost everything there is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the 5 or 6 days that we're going to be there in the market. We're looking forward to the pre-show tour, which isn't quite locked down yet. We haven't announced the exact events that are going to be in it, but Parker House, Creekside Manor, Cannon Manor, a lot of the haunted houses in that market are going to open up for us, and we're looking forward to that. Of course, then our spotlight kickoff tour is on the 13th. Or is at 13th Street Morgue. It's going to be on the Thursday night, April 25th, before the show opens. And then, of course, we have several different other tours during the event. Friday night is going to be a combo. It's a cutting edge haunted house. It was marked the Guinness Book Records, one of the world's largest haunted houses for a while there before somebody took it over. So it's a massive haunt that we're going to see on a Friday night, as well as Hangman's Haunted House is also going to be on. We've added them to the Friday night tour, so that's going to be a four-element attraction and then one massive haunt. So there's going to be five different attractions on that one night. And then Sunday night is Zombie Manor. It's one of our local favorites. It's a very, very high detail, very, very cool attraction, and we're going to see that on Sunday. And that's just the tour. So that's probably in the 15, 20 different attractions that people will be able to see by starting on Wednesday morning early for the pre-show tour, and then that's a two-day tour, Thursday night there at 13th Street Morgue and Dungeon of Doom, Friday night and Sunday night. So we're looking forward to having everybody come out and join us for the tours, and you know, that's one of the reasons that we move to a different city every year, so you give people opportunities to see haunts that they couldn't get to because they're so tied to their own shows.
How far away are some of these? If they get on a bus, are they going to be on the bus for an hour, half an hour, 5 hours? How long, especially for, say, the two-day tour, the Friday night and the Sunday night?
I think because there's so many haunted houses in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I think the longest you'll be on the bus is about an hour. I don't think we're not really going a long ways like we normally do. In fact, right now the plan is to spend the night back at the hotel, at the host hotel on,
oh, wow,
on Wednesday night, which is going to be nice because normally we're off in the middle of nowhere, you know, and there's not any much socializing that goes on with the vendors and that kind of stuff. But this year, there's so much stuff there locally that it's almost going to be broken into two tours. There's going to be a Wednesday day tour, Wednesday night tour, and a Thursday day tour, and a Thursday night tour. Then we're even going to give people the opportunity to just, if they want to split that up, they can't take off work and be out there on Wednesday. They can just do the Thursday tours. So it's going to be a little bit complicated in the pricing. That's why we haven't gotten all that information up yet. But it's going to be a great opportunity for people to come out and see some haunts. And Texas is such a varied market. I mean, there are people that are out there that are, you know, doing it on a very, very low budget, and some people that are spending a huge amount of money. So we're going to get a good wide berth of what it's like from, you know, doing stuff that's do-it-yourself all the way up through all the animatronics and that kind of stuff that you see during the trade show and that kind of stuff, animatronics. So it's going to be a great opportunity, and we're looking forward to being back in Texas. Texas is the only state that we've been in more than once, and then we were in Dallas the second year of HauntCon, so it's kind of a homecoming to me. I cut my teeth in haunted houses in the Dallas-Fort Worth area way back in the 80s, so... So it's kind of like coming home for me, and it's a great opportunity to showcase all these great haunts.
I did want to kind of ask you that, and it kind of makes for a nice segue. What made you decide to make this a traveling convention as opposed to just staying in one place year after year?
Well, it certainly would be easier to stay in one spot, that's for sure. I mean, just knowing where you're going to be the following year would take a huge amount of pressure off of us, but the whole when we first started thinking about doing a convention, we looked around at a lot of other different conventions, and one of which was a show that is really for the Campers Association. That a lot of campgrounds also do Halloween events, and so we had gone and exhibited at their show when we were been there as an exhibitor. And we were, thrilled by the concept that they would go and throw people on a bus and go see a bunch of local campgrounds in the area. And we thought, man, that's perfect for the haunted house industry, because people I've heard of these haunted houses that I just can't get to in October. This gives us a great opportunity to move the show to that location, to introduce ourselves to the market. I mean, there are people that don't even realize that there is a haunted house industry. And because we do local marketing, we open to the public as well as to the haunt community, this is a great opportunity to grow the industry. You know, we have people that didn't even realize that haunting was a business that have started haunted houses or have met partners at the show, through the networking things that we do. And then it's just an opportunity to grow the industry. The more people that we have in the haunted house industry, the more people are buying stuff from our vendors, the more people are coming back to HauntCon the following year. And that's kind of one of our goals is to grow the industry. And you really just can't do that if you just sit in one city for every year. It just doesn't have that aspect to it. But seriously, we've considered trying to pick a spot and stay. We haven't gotten to that point yet, because it certainly would be easier to do. And I think the show would be bigger if we stop. But because we have people that it's too far for us this year, we'll see you when you're a little bit closer kind of thing. But we need that support. We need people to travel and come see us when we're further away, just as well as when we're down the road, so we can keep doing this.
Without giving anything away, do you have maybe a waiting list of next year, the year after, of cities vying for a HauntCon to come visit?
I wish that were true. We have a lot of people that contact us and kind of court us a little bit on coming to their market. But we don't really have our biggest problem is finding a hotel that's cheap enough that we feel like our vendors can afford the rooms. The rooms in Dallas are about 124, but it's a nice hotel. It's a Sheraton, so it's a little bit higher than we'd like for it to be. But it's hard. We can't just do this at a Motel 6. We've got to have the exhibit space and room for the meetings and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of an interesting niche. We're not so big that we're in a convention center. We don't need that kind of space, but we're really larger than most hotels. So we're in that kind of donut hole where it's difficult to to find a hotel that we can afford, that we can fit in, that has the dates and that kind of stuff that we need. And we've kind of moved around a lot. We were in April. We felt like that was a little bit close to the Chicago, to the what was in the Chicago show. And then, so we moved into May. There's so much competition in May. There's some other smaller events that are in May. So we've moved back into April. And so we're still trying to find that sweet spot. But it's a great opportunity for people to come out. And, you know, I think we have the broadest education schedule of any of the other trade shows. So, we're all about tours and education and getting people together. And, of course, our costume ball is massive. We have a costume ball on Saturday night, which is great. And then as well as the trade show, to give people an opportunity to see the newest and latest gags that are popping up, stuff. New companies all the time are going with us because we're a little bit less expensive than the St. Louis show. So it gives that people an opportunity. We're very much an incubator. We have people that have never spoken before, but have great ideas. We invite them to come out and do seminars, and we have an open call, and we're hoping that you're going to join us again, Drew, with a seminar for 2013. And we're really big about going out and finding people that know their stuff, that have got some really cool new ideas but have never really spoken before, and give them an opportunity to speak for the first time. And, you know, and so we're looking for those diamonds in the rough, and try to help them, give an opportunity to polish what they do and come up with some cutting-edge new ideas that maybe nobody's ever thought of before. And we're the same way with vendors. We're cheaper than most of the other the large conventions for vendors, so it gives somebody that has a cool idea the opportunity to come in and do a seminar to talk about their product, as well as have a booth to show their product so people can see it, get feedback on it one way or the other. And if you can't afford a booth, we even have our haunted garage sale on Sunday, that for a couple of hours you can just buy a table cheap and sit down there and show a product or something that you made by hand and see if anybody's interested in buying them.
So you talked a little bit about education. You know, everybody talks about the St. Louis show. That's the buyer's show. You see all the great gizmos, all the cool props, all the really neat stuff. But they don't focus on education as much because, you know, frankly, some buyers only go to that show and some vendors only vend at that show, whereas yours and some of the other conventions really focus a lot on that education aspect of it that you just don't see at the big show in St. Louis. What, if you can, what are some of the educations or educational seminars that you're offering this year?
Well, and our model is that our education is free. Once you pay to get into the show, the education is free. That's another, you know, aspect that my show is different than anybody else's, in that I always felt it wasn't fair for the vendors to spend huge amounts of money for the booths and then have to... And you know, so that the vendors are really kind of paying for the show. I mean, they're the ones that are paying for the space. So we spread that cost out to all the attendees, which should bring the price of the stuff that they're buying in the exhibit space cheaper. And then it includes the education, because we want everybody to go to the education. Education is what, you know, makes you be able to do what you do better, faster, cheaper, different, and really keeps you on the cutting edge of the industry that's ever-changing. I mean, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I learn something new every day about, you know, something that somebody else is doing. So education, sharing ideas, coming up with some great concepts is definitely the way to go. And our show is the only show that the education is included in the price of admission. Once you get in the trade show floor, all the education is free. So it gives you an opportunity and even incentive to go and learn some stuff that you might not do if you had to pay for the education. I think one seminar at the St. Louis show would pay for our admission price. So by the time, and we have over 50 hours of education throughout the whole weekend. So it gives people a great opportunity to learn something and try to do what they do better. Very excited about some of the stuff that we've got going on this year. We've got, one of the things that we've done over the years is we've educated the Hong Kong attendee to the point where he's now looking for the next level. So one of the only complaints we ever get about our education in the last year or two is that everyone's looking for more advanced classes. So now we're going out and looking for people that aren't even maybe even necessarily in the haunted house industry that know how to do search engine optimization, that know how to do social media and that kind of stuff. They may not be in the haunted house industry, but they know their social media. And we've got a guy that's going to be doing an SEO for both basic and advanced. And then we've got another young lady that's coming to do some social media stuff. You know, we all have Facebook pages, but if anybody's like me, they're not exactly sure how to use them. So it's a great opportunity to learn those kind of cutting edge things. And our education is one of the last things that comes together. So it's still in the process of going out and finding people, inviting people to speak about certain topics. And we have an open call. If anybody has some great ideas that they'd love to share with the rest of the industry, then please go to hauntcon.com, hauntcon.com, and click on the education page, and they can send us a proposal for a seminar that they'd like to do, and we'd love to have you.
Do you run, shall we say, certain types of tracks? I mean, do you do, like, a business track? Do you do a makeup track? Do you do an acting track or a make-and-take type track?
Yeah, we have four different tracks that are pretty loosely, they're not set in stone, but there's a business track, talks about business plans, talks about marketing, talks about, the business side of haunting. We're all really good at scaring the crap out of people, but when it comes to the business side, you know, some of us not so much. So, and you have to have both. I mean, you have to be creative, but you also have to have that left brain to make sure that you're making money. So one of our tracks is business, and we concentrate on that. I get some great people in there to talk about. We've got somebody coming in and talking about, a business plan. Even if you're in business, you've been in business for years, you should still have a business plan. You should still check back with that on a constant basis to make sure that you're on the right track. You know, it's kind of like a map on getting you from where you're at to where you want to be. And if you don't have a map, you're really kind of going, you have a chance of going around in circles. So we're going to have a business plan. A lady that's doing a business plan how-to, and by the time you walk out of there, you should be able to leave with a great outline for a business plan that help you get forward. We have a creative track that picks up those things like building props and different room designs and coming up with scare concepts and that kind of stuff. So we have a creative track. And then we have what we call a demo track, and that kind of picks up a lot of different things. There's makeup demos, product demos, and a bunch of other stuff. It's kind of a catch-all miscellaneous thing that we throw a lot of different things into. And then we're also, we're all about education, so we have our fourth track is what we call a hands-on workshop. You pay for the materials of that you're going to be using in the class, and then you're actually going to get your hands dirty, and build, and learn the techniques to build different kinds of props, and then when you're done, you get to take those home with you, or if you can't bring them on the plane, then somebody else will be happy to take them home for you. But it's a great opportunity for people to learn techniques that they may or may not know, or brush up on some techniques that they haven't used in a while, and actually have a hands-on approach so that you know that when you go home, you can do it on a larger scale on a bunch of other different projects that are similar.
Now, you have had in the past a Monday all-day seminar, which gets really, really down and dirty. You've had the Wolf Brothers in for an all-day makeup session. You've had business leaders come in, do business haunt marketing and how to write a business plan, et cetera, type things. Will you be offering those again in this year?
We will, yeah. The Monday classes is the only education that you'll pay for over and above the admission fee. And those are when we get into more in-depth classes. In the past, I've done a full day of how to get started in the haunted house industry, or a full day on a haunted house design. I haven't decided which one I want to do yet, but we've got we've got some people talking about doing a full day class on materials like how to use silicone, how to use different polymers for casting, as well as positives. So we're looking at, and again, we're wide open to other suggestions, but we're looking at another company that does a lot of foam carving to do a full-day session on teaching techniques on foam carving and turning, pink foam into something that looks like a 100-year-old, stone wall or tombstones and that kind of stuff. And so, that's another hands-on full-day class that gives you an opportunity to get in the weeds and really get down and get your hands dirty and come out with a strong understanding of the technique and the concept behind whatever the class is. Those are in process. We're looking for suggestions as well as anybody that would like to teach some of those classes.
We've still got a little bit of time, so
sure.
You know, hopefully some folks will come in. One thing that I've noticed about your convention floor that a lot of others don't is you do have some celebrity guests that appear from time to time. Do you have any that you are talking to now or anybody you can confirm or at least tentatively confirm for this year?
Yeah, Butch Patrick is going to join us.
So
going to be there. That'll be fun. We've got some other people that we're talking to. You know, it gives people that have made a lot of money. There's haunts around the country that have done some great business utilizing celebrity appearances to drive local media and to drive some attendance to their haunts. But how do you find those people? How do you know what does that kind of thing cost? So we bring in a handful of celebrities each year. Just so that you can, introduce yourself to them, talk to them, see what it would take to bring them out to your event, and make some, maybe even make a deal with them right there, and get them out to your show in October, so that you can utilize that in your marketing. And typically we have a seminar. We have one of the celebrities teach a seminar on, some interesting things that they've come up with, things that they've found that have worked really well for people that are using their appearance to drive attendance, and so it's a little how-to on how to get the most out of your celebrities when you do hire them and bring them in.
I never really thought about it from that way. I thought it was just kind of a way to go get your picture taken with somebody. You've had some pretty good names in the past, and hey, I'd like to meet Butch Patrick, so that'll be fun. One thing that you mentioned, all the tours going on the pre-show tour, I guess Wednesday, Thursday. You talked about a Friday night tour, and you talked about a Sunday night tour, but you didn't mention anything about Saturday night other than maybe just touching on it. What have you got going on Saturday night?
Well, Saturday night is a great opportunity for people for all of us who got into the haunted house business because we love dressing up, we love scaring the heck out of people. But typically on Halloween night, we're working. We're in the haunt, we're selling tickets, or doing whatever we need to do to make a living. And we don't get a chance to play Halloween anymore. We don't get a chance to get dressed up just for fun rather than as a job. So Saturday night we have a massive costume ball as far as I can concern, it's the social event of the haunting calendar. But it's just a great opportunity for people to get in costume, show off their makeup capabilities, and an opportunity to just party. I mean, just have a good time. We've got a DJ, dance. Sometimes we give us some stuff away. Do a T-shirt toss every year, so people donate T-shirts to us and we throw them out to the crowd. It's just a great opportunity to get back to what got us into the industry in the first place, which is that love of dressing up and being somebody that we're not, and nobody questioning. Halloween is a great opportunity for people to become something they're not, dress up as something that they've always wanted to be or never wanted to be, and no one questions it. So it's a great opportunity for people to do that at the Haunt-Con for fun rather than for work. And because we're in Texas, our new we're announcing it here. This is a great
breaking news, folks.
Breaking news for you. The theme this year. Last year was the first time we did a theme because we were in Pittsburgh last year, so we did a zombie theme since we were right across the street from the mall that Don of the Dead has filmed at. But so this year because we're in Texas, we're going to be Texas Chainsaw Masquerade. So that's going to be the name of our costume ball. So it's pretty wide open. You can dress as whatever you want to, and you don't have to wear a costume. You can, as long as you dress nicely, because it is an upscale event. But we get hors d'oeuvres and some free beer, and it gives a great opportunity for people that have met during the show for the first few days to talk and relax in a nice setting with other people that like-minded people, and share ideas and talk about what they've learned over the first few days of the convention, and just have a good time. It's a great opportunity, and even if you don't like haunted houses, if you don't like the haunted house industry, you don't like Halloween, but you like to get dressed up and go to a costume ball, it's a great opportunity. It really is a blast, and it is the highlight of the weekend.
Well, you did have R.A. Mihailov from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, one of them in there, I believe at the Orlando show. Maybe you can get him to come back, make a celebrity appearance, Gunnar Hansen or somebody like that.
Yeah, we haven't really looked at trying to do some kind of a Texas Chainsaw reunion, but that's a good idea. We might look into that and see if we can get some of those people. He doesn't fly, he drives, so I think the Orlando time was the first time we ever talked to him into getting on a plane. He normally drives from California, so it's a little hard to get him out, but yeah, there's several people that we might think about trying to bring celebrity-wise out, but they're, you know, those celebrities always go to the costume ball and have a great time.
Well, speaking of horror films, do you have any kind of a film contest or anything going on this year?
You know, we have done that in the past, but we have so much stuff going on that it's really hard for us to fit that kind of stuff in. So we've kind of dropped away from that, although we're thinking about doing something that might be more of a way for people to share their TV commercials and radio commercials. We're thinking about doing a little more of a display case than an actual viewing of movies, so that we have people that can send in their TV commercials or their radio commercials, and then we'll play them for the crowd. Again, a great opportunity to share information. And many years ago, when I first started doing haunted houses, I was very secretive. I held everything very close to the vest, and I didn't share any of my ideas with anybody because I didn't want anybody to steal them. But the reality is you can only go, when you live in a bubble like that, you can only go so far. You have to share ideas with other people so that you can bounce those ideas off of people. You know, maybe you're kind of bringing them up to your level, but you're going to be able to use them as stepstones to get higher and to go further than what you were ever able to do. So I learned that very early in my haunting, that I could only get so far if I didn't share my knowledge. That's why I started Haunted Attraction Magazine. It's why I started Hong Kong. It was a great opportunity to share information with people and try to build, if I can give them ideas and get them up to where I am, then maybe then I can use them as stepstones to get higher than I could have ever gotten by myself. So this will be another opportunity to share some ideas. Maybe they were last year's, maybe they were 2 years ago's commercials, but give everybody an opportunity to hear what you're doing in advertising. And I think it'll go over well. So that's what we're planning on doing instead of what used to be our movie contest that we used to do. Because it wasn't really participated in by haunted house people. We had, you know, filmmakers from around the country that were sending us movies, but what we were really looking for was the haunted house people, and they're too busy doing other stuff to send us a movie. So that's our thinking. We're always changing, always experimenting, always coming up with new stuff. Our garage sale last year was just massive. We had a line wrapped around the building trying to get in the garage sale. So we're really looking hard to make sure we have plenty of product to sell in the garage sale this year, because last year, by the time the last few people got into the room, I don't think there was anything left to buy. So our haunted garage sale has gone over really well, and we're excited about that and moving forward. And Texas is a great place for hearses, and we also do a little hearse rally on Sunday. So we're got some people that are really excited about it. I didn't even know there was a record, but people that own hearses have been keeping track of it, and 21 hearses is our record at HauntCon, and they're planning on breaking that in the Dallas market. So
very nice.
So that'll be interesting to see whether they're able to do that. And it's just a great time. It's a great opportunity to get together with like-minded friends and share ideas. And, you don't see those people very often, it's a great opportunity to see old friends and make new friends. And, even if you don't know anybody, come and find me. Tell me what you're doing. I'll introduce you to some people. It's a great opportunity to, haunting is a disease. It's easy to catch and hard to get rid of. In fact, it's terminal. There is no cure, but there are treatments like HauntCon. It's kind of like a gigantic AA meeting, actually. So.
And you're actually right at about the halfway point till Halloween, late April, late October, 6 months apart. That's perfect. How much of HauntCon is open to the general public? I mean, can somebody off the street come in and buy a ticket to the costume ball or the garage sale or the get on the floor?
Yeah, everything is open to the general public. They can buy a ticket just like anybody else can. We don't, and unlike some of the other conventions as well, we don't have any kind of age discrimination. You know, I know a guy that was 15 years old when he owned his first haunted house. So we don't have any kind of an 18-year-old restriction. You know, as long as they're accompanied by a parent and well behaved, and any age is welcome. And I can't remember what the age is that we don't even charge for below a certain. I think it's 13 or something, 12, 13.
That
we
don't even
charge for below that.
I've brought my kids to HauntCon, so HauntCon was a good place to introduce my kids to the strange, twisted, diseased self that I do in this industry. So they still talk about going up to, I believe, Louisville a couple of years ago and just having all the fun and seeing all the really cool stuff that they still tell their friends about. And of course, my kids are now looked at as really weird for doing that, but. That just means I'm raising them right.
Haunting is very much a family business in many cases, and so it doesn't make sense for you not to bring your wife and your kids. A lot of people will schedule their vacation around where and when Hong Kong is, so that they can drive out, bring the kids and the wife, and drive out and see some stuff on the way, and do Hong Kong for the weekend and see some more stuff on the way home, and make a full week's vacation out of it.
Sure, it is right around spring break time. So, let's review. HauntCon is April 25th through the 28th. Is it technically Irving, Texas, where you're going to be this year, or is it Fort Worth? Where exactly this year?
It's in Irving. It's in Irving. It's right by DFW Airport. It's just, okay. In fact, it's a free shuttle from the airport to the hotel.
So fly right in, and there you go. And for everybody who's out there listening saying, oh, gosh, I've got to get to Texas now, in late April and check out HauntCon, get their tickets. They can register for, all the Monday app things, the pre-show tours, the Friday night tours, the Sunday night tours, all that cool stuff. What's the best way for them to do it?
HauntCon.com, HauntCon.com has got all the information and the latest updates, and we'll keep you guys abreast of everything once all the stuff gets locked down so that you can put it on your website.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much for that information. Leonard Pickle, it again has been a distinct pleasure to have you on the Big Scary Show. You are a repeat customer, so to speak. And we look forward to chatting with you again as HauntCon draws near. Again, as you have news, please let us know so we can get it out there to the masses. So once again, Leonard Pickle, the organizer, founder, Big Cheese of HauntCon, thank you so very much for talking to the Big Scary Show. Any last words you have?
I just look forward to seeing everybody in Irving, and thanks for the opportunity on the Big Scary Show.
Absolutely. Thank you once again, Leonard Pickle, here on the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
Are you a fan of the alternative lifestyle? Do you like horror films and gaming reviews? How about Drop Dead Gorgeous Ladies? If you answered yes, then you need to check out Stiff Mag. Stiff Mag is a bi-monthly horror, alternative culture, and entertainment publication that features our horror film reviews, our tech from the crypt, and graveyard gaming features, killer reading, literary features, music reviews, columns, and of course, our beautiful graveyard girls. For subscription information, visit stiffmag.com. That's stiffmag.com.
Deadline News is sponsored by the National Haunters Convention, May 3rd through the 5th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. www.nationalhauntersconvention.com. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. The Big Scary Show would like to congratulate Elizabeth Vega of Torrance, California, for being our 1,200th like on Facebook. She is the Marketing and Public Relations Manager at Haunted Housemakers Unlimited Modern Amusement Specialists. You can find out more about their company at www.hauntedhousemakers.com. Congratulations, Elizabeth, and keep listening to the Big Scary Show. We have some news from the Spooky World Haunted Attraction in Litchfield, New Hampshire. Join us for Spooky World Night on Thursday, February 28th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Amesbury Sports Park located at 12 South Hunt Road in Amesbury, Massachusetts for a night of snow tubing and fun. Experience the thrill of snow tubing on New England's steepest tubing hill. Fans of Spooky World get a special treat. Dress in any type of costume and receive $9 off snow tubing admission. The first 50 costume guests can get their face made up by one of their makeup artists. For more information, visit www.amesburysportspark.net. We have an update on Ashmore Estates in Ashmore, Illinois. Help Bring Ashmore Back to Life benefit auction will be held on Saturday, March 2, 2013. As you may know, the historic Ashmore Estates building was badly damaged by a tornado a few weeks ago. Please donate stuff for them to sell and buy stuff at the benefit auction to raise funds to try and save the historic structure. Contact Becky Guyman at 217-294-3879 or email becky.imps@gmail.com. That's becky.imps@gmail.com for more details. We have some news from the Midwest Haunters Convention. MHC has announced the first two of their five Friday, June 7th pre-convention workshops. These workshops are 4 to 6 hours of intensive hands-on haunt stuff. The first is a makeup class taught by the world-renowned Pashur. You get 4 hours of face painting and FX with the, quote, Picasso of body painting, unquote. The second class is a 6-hour core construction class with Alan Hopps of Stillbeast Studios. Alan will share 6 core techniques for making props, monsters, costumes, set pieces, and haunt decor. All the techniques flow together to complement each other. Prop skins, prop skeletons, molding techniques, and others are all covered in this class. Check out www.midwestshow.com for times, costs, and more details. We have some interesting news from Rob Zombie. Quote, if you have a Twitter account, you can win a chance to premiere my new single, Dead City Radio and the New Gods of Supertown, on your Twitter, unquote. Visit www.sharethevenom.com for your chance to debut Rob's new song to the world. We have some news from the National Haunters Convention. New for 2013 at the National Halloween Horror Haunted House and Hearst Convention is the Miss Halloween Beauty Pageant. The pageant is open to any woman who believes they embody the true spirit of Halloween. This includes costuming, makeup, character representation, and all things dark and beautiful that you believe is the embodiment of the Halloween season. The competition will consist of multiple events, contestant introduction, a Q&A session, and a solo runway walk. Trademark characters are not allowed, so no Elvira lookalikes. For more information or to register, email mike@nationalhauntersconvention.com or rob@nationalhauntersconvention.com. Also happening at NHC is Gravely Macabre's Monster Makeup Challenge. This is a contest to promote and encourage creativity, ingenuity, and artistry using the most favorite of traditional Halloween skills, makeup. They will reward those who can think on their feet and have a wide range of skills. To register online or for more information, please contact Ricky@NationalHauntersConvention.com. We have some news from Dead Winter Con. If you're unable to make it to St. Louis for the big trade show, why not head out to Kentucky for the Dead Winter Horror Convention? It's located at the Center for Rural Development, 2292 South Highway 27 in Somerset, Kentucky. Special guests include Tony Todd, Tom Savini, R.A. Mihailoff, Richard Brooker, Jason Crow and Roni Jonah, Kip Weeks, and many, many more. VIP tickets are available, but they are almost gone. There'll be panels on Friday the 13th, FX and Masked Killers, a costume contest, movie screenings, and the famous Dead Winter Pageant. This is March 8th through the 10th in Somerset, Kentucky. Rumor has it, a certain unknown member of the Big Scary Show will be covering this con. So if you see him and you recognize him, make sure you say hi. For tickets, information, and much, much more on Dead Winter Con, visit www.deadwintercon.com. Finally, some news from the Big Scary Show. The Big Scary Show is covering Transworld, and we have a booth, 1343, and we'll be conducting interviews and letting haunters record shout-outs for the show, so be sure to come by and say hi. Also, stay tuned later, as the Big Scary Show, in conjunction with Decimated Designs, will be announcing a special giveaway for those attending the show. You could win a very cool prize courtesy of Decimated Designs. So keep listening for more details. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
You want a big show with top vendors, useful education, a kick-ass haunt tour, and one hell of a party. The National Haunters Convention at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. Go to nationalhauntersconvention.com. It's not just big, it's national. May 4th through 6th. For tickets and information, go to nationalhauntersconvention.com.
Welcome back to the Big Scary Show, everybody. This is Drew Badger, and of course, you love it. We love it. It is the Round Table of Terror. And you know, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about masks, we've talked about makeup. We're talking about another slightly different aspect of the haunt industry, very, very important aspect of the haunt industry, costumes. Now, how many haunted houses have you ever gone into where everybody seems to be wearing the exact same thing? They throw on some camouflage, pair of overalls, a jumpsuit. Yeah, I'm not real excited about going in those either. So what we did was we contacted a few people who just happened to be in the costuming business, and also coincidentally, they all have ties to the show. So we decided to come and ask them about the world of costuming in the haunt industry. On the phone, down in Newberry, Florida, we have Nez Wilburn. Nez, are you there?
I'm here. It's nice to talk to y'all.
And you are with Dark Specter Custom Couture, a sponsor of Face Your Fears with the Unknown Scare Actor, correct?
Absolutely. My favorite segment on the show.
I wonder why. And also up in Troy, Ohio, we have Tom and Anita Sowers from Von Caron Productions. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
Excellent.
Glad to be here.
Oh, I was going to say, there's Tom, there's Anita. Excellent. Glad to have you guys as a part of the show and glad to have you on the phone. With the rest of the hosts, we have up in the frozen north, Storm.
Greetings. Just got power an hour ago.
Nice. We have the unknown scare actor.
Not freezing, fortunately.
And way out in the desert country, we have the haunt rocker, Jerry Vane.
Getting blown across the tundra.
Nice. My name is Drew Badger. I'm in Charlotte where it was 60 yesterday, so ha-ha. Welcome to the Roundtable of Terror. We are talking costumes. I'll throw the first question out, as is tradition. For all of you, what makes a good costume for a haunted house? We'll throw it out. Start with Nez.
All right. In my opinion, a good costume for a haunted house, especially the bigger haunted attractions, first of all, originality. Originality is extremely important, I believe, because like you said, you see the same type of costume from haunt to haunt to haunt, and it does get boring, and especially if you're working a haunt that has a theme, like, say, vampires, having a gentleman running around in coveralls doesn't exactly suit. So absolutely, originality is key, and you build your character off of your costuming as well. So that's really important. The other thing I have to say is durability, as I've definitely found over the past couple of years, the costumes have got to be very durable because these actors really run them through their paces. So trying to make sure that they not only look good and function well and that they can move well in them, but that they're going to last through more than one season is very important.
Right, and they should. I like the appearance of real clothing instead of cheap materials and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or someone wearing a really nice costume and then they put on tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's always really, isn't that always fun? Because those white tennis shoes always stand out in the dark. It's like the first thing you see.
The really cheap vampire capes and plastic fangs, and that's always great.
Exactly.
I think it's Crazy Bob Turner, who owns a Haunted Hydro up in, as at Fairmont, Ohio. I remember him telling us one time if you wore white tennis shoes to the haunt, he would actually spray paint them black for you right then on the spot.
That's awesome. No, I thoroughly agree with that statement. You have to, in order to really get into character, you really do have to have a brilliant costume. Because there are not many actors out there that I know who are going to stay in character if they're not attired properly.
And like we touched on before, you know, I live in North Carolina. North Carolina, South Carolina is just rife with these little mom and pop haunts. They're not necessarily themed in any way. There's just a bunch of rooms. They've got clown rooms and laboratories and stuff like that. But every single one of them I go to, they're all wearing, like, camouflage. They throw on a pair of overalls and a flannel shirt, and all of a sudden it's a hillbilly laboratory, and it's a hillbilly clown room. And, you know, that's great down here in the South, but, you know, hillbillies get a little tired and all. So a good costume, you know, if I see somebody in something nice and quality and all that, I just applaud, especially when it comes to working cue lines and not just doing a pop scare from behind a corner or something.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, and you know, all the accessories and everything that go along with come into play as well, because there are characters who absolutely accessorize their costumes, and everything meshes well together, and it works well for the application. Case in point, I'll throw out a brilliant example, Castle Blood. Castle Blood, their costumes are awesome, in my opinion, and they totally suit their haunt application, and their characters are all built around their costumes, and they're just gorgeous. I love it. I think they do a wonderful job of their costuming for their haunt.
Yeah, Gravely's awesome. Yeah, he does excellent work.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah.
I love him to death. I love all their people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good team.
We went to the Haunt Expo this year, which was new for us, and got to see very few well-made costumes, but a lot of cheap costumes. And it really surprises me what people, I mean, most of it obviously is for parties, but some of them, you know, people do buy the cheap ones for haunted houses. And it amazes me how expensive they are, yet they're basically throwaway costumes. And I just don't see, you know, in our line of work that Tom does, he's building them to last. And they might cost more up front, but they're going to last that haunter or that haunted house a long time.
Well, yeah, the costumes are definitely an investment at that point in time, especially if you're building key characters for a haunt. I completely agree with you, because the throwaway costumes, I just can't believe how much they're charging for them, and they're very flimsy. They're very shoddily made, very flimsy. I have some pretty strong opinions regarding some of the costumes that are out at this point in time, too, because to me it just looks like a lot of stripper wear, to be honest with you.
Oh, my gosh. We couldn't even.
You can't
oh my
even
gosh.
Fathom.
Nez, you have a strong opinion? No, never.
No, never. I never have strong opinions.
I was just going to ask, what is your opinion on all the quote-unquote sexy, pretty much everything that's come out by maybe the last 4 or 5 years? It's sexy nurses and sexy vampires and sexy Disney this and sexy everything. I mean, you know, you see it at the, shall we, unnamed Halloween party type express stores.
Well, they say sex sells, but it sells to the partygoers. I'm not sure that it's selling to the
haunted
attractions, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of these costumes look like, you know, the old costumes that came in the box with the plastic mask, except they're just a little more bigger.
Right.
We found out there's a reason for that, because they can import them a lot cheaper.
Yeah, when they're made cheaply, then they can import them cheaply because they're considered toys. But if they're made very well, then they have to pay extra to get them inside the country. So
there you go. That was interesting to find out. Right, that's interesting. I wasn't even aware of that situation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So if you're doing any exporting, you run a fine line, because it's really the customs people who decide how your product's going to be taxed. They'll feel it and see if it's toy-like or if it's actually more like clothing.
So it's more of a novelty item at the end of the day.
It's dipped under toys and novelties, actually.
Exactly. So
right.
The products that we make, you and I make, they're fancy clothing, you know, and it would cost us a fortune to export them and import them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the items that I do sell overseas, I have definitely had complaints about how much they have to pay to get them through customs.
Yeah, that's the reason right there.
Right. I got you.
Speaking of those sexy costumes, I couldn't believe how many, like Leg Avenue and Ruby's, and there was a bunch of other
Morris costumes, yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily Morris costumes. I mean, they were there, but not necessarily with all the sexy costumes. I just couldn't believe we have a catalog that's about an inch thick, and all it has in it is sexy girl costumes. That's it.
Right.
And anyone made it to Houston to that show, they had just thousands and thousands of square feet of floor space,
right,
just for those types.
Well, I heard that at the Transworld event that the costuming side of things has a tendency to run toward the slutty.
Yeah, we don't get away from the booth much, so.
I'm not calling you guys slutty. I'm talking about the Ruby's and
Ruby's, no, Ruby's isn't slutty.
In that sense, if you guys see some absolutely obscene, obscure, like, sexy outfits, like the one that drove me nuts, and I saw it in a couple of Halloween stores up here in New England, sexy Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Didn't you do a haunt minute on that storm about sexy costumes once upon a time?
I might have, or I might have been ranting. There's that one video on the internet, Al's sexy girls costume emporium, funniest damn thing ever on YouTube. And, I mean, it's sexy everything and frog. But, yeah, no, I've ran it on so much, I might have.
Well, one costume that really kind of bugged us was, you know how they have costumes that are morph suits where you wear like a leotard from head to toe,
mm-hmm.
and you blend in usually with the room.
The morph suit, the morph suit is a cool product. I mean, it's an awesome product, but
they've started.
Taken it to
they were now making them NFL, baseball themed morph suits.
Would you wear that to a Raiders game?
There are a lot of people out there I would not want to see wearing that to a Raiders game. I'm just
would you
saying.
Even want to go to a Raiders game? I'm sorry, Chargers. Woohoo! Anyway.
Sure. Ostracize our West Coast listeners.
Get your San Diego bias through, Jerry.
Hey, at least I'm not going Canadian, eh?
So that's funny. So now they're marketing the morph suits toward the sports and
this thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, why don't you just go buy a jersey and a hat? Why would you want to wear a morph suit?
Oh goodness, that is too much. I go to I'm going to have to make a point of paying attention when the next Gators football game takes place.
There you go.
See if I see any Gators morph suits running around, because that's just scary.
You could probably blame It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because their character Green Man, which is just one of their nuts in a morph suit running around, and there was a thing that they did at an Eagles game. I also think the other push with it has been the Vancouver Canucks. They've had a bunch of people in those green skin morph suits running around. And then, yeah, this year they had them for everything. Every color, frightening. And
Flex
size, too.
He's got an awesome product. He really does. And
but,
to use it as a base for, you know, sticking on other items, you know, prosthetics and things, that
it would be good.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You know, for the haunted attraction industry. But
We were trying to market that to Tater, you know, Scott. We thought he could do a granny morph suit.
Oh, God almighty.
Oh, my God.
Stab me in the forehead now.
What I thought was interesting this year, I probably saw at least half a dozen people dressed as Slender Man in those morph suits. They put on a white morph suit, then put a coat and tie on, and maybe a hat or something. And I saw one guy who was just, you know, he had stilts on, he had sewn leg extensions onto his pants, and he was rather creepy because obviously he had no face on with that suit on, but...
Yeah.
Right.
That was the only person that I saw genuinely creeped out, except for the fact that you just see somebody running around in one of those suits is generally creepy enough.
Yeah, well, they don't leave much to the imagination, do they?
I'm not noticing that, trust me.
You can't help it. It's like watching a slow-moving train wreck. Come on now.
Yeah, it's like, and then you look at some of them and go, no, really, seriously, please.
Just look at their face. Look at their face.
I can hear the seam screaming from here, please.
Only rock.
Fresh material that has no choice.
Yeah, only rock stars
can supposed to be stuck to that.
Okay, let's rerail this conversation. I would like to know specifically is how each of you got started in this business, and we'll start with Tom and Anita.
Yeah, we were doing home haunts years and years and years ago, and, you know, things kind of petered out. Morph suits petered out.
You're the rim shot.
The costume part I like the most, you know, so we play with our own stuff, and I wanted to stay connected to the haunted attraction industry. You know, it was getting bigger, and we were kind of out there on the fringes, so we developed our own little product line just for, you know, haunted attractions. And that's kind of where we come from.
Kind of to offset the cost of going to all these conventions, then we can sell something and make some money and still have fun.
Yeah, it's a good time, you know. I love my haunted.
Well, I know that...
doesn't like dressing up, you know?
You're right.
I know that you're insane ensemble, you know, being that I am friends with you guys, and I've seen the world headquarters, and I've seen your finished products. I do know that they stand up so well because the old straitjacket that Pat had at the Dent Schoolhouse lasted for 6 years.
Yeah, we still got a few of those out there. Once in a while, one of them will turn up and they'll be, you know, like mint condition. It's just crazy.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you can't mass produce that kind of quality. I mean,
it's kind of hard to sell them a second one, though, when they're lasting for 5 or 6 years at a stretch.
Well, you just need to make them
the market.
Yeah, really. Now, since you brought that up, Jim, regarding your psychosurgical coat and all that and your straitjackets, the question I'm curious about is, how'd you guys get hooked up with Alice Cooper?
That was just a stroke of luck, actually.
Kevin Alvey was working with Distortions to make that Franken Alice.
Kevin Alvey from Gore Galore.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said that he recommended us to Ed and Marcia at Distortions. They contacted us, and then Tom made a stage version of the psychosurgical lab coat. And since then, we gave them another one when we visited and seen Alice backstage, and then we also got another one to them, and now we're connected to them. There's no intermediary, so we're really excited about that because we're looking at possibly doing some other stuff for him, but who knows?
Yeah, it was crazy, you know, like growing up with Alice Cooper, you know. That's
I was going to say, how cool is that? That is so awesome.
To have Ed call us on the phone, we were in Florida at the time, Ed leaves a message on our phone, you know, this is Ed Edmonds from Distortions, and I like that died. Ed Edmonds from Distortions.
It's like being called by God.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about industry giants here, you know. And, yeah, he's...
We were thrilled, and that was on a Friday. We weren't supposed to come back till Monday, so Tom had to hold still, you know, hold tight till Monday to get home to start working on it. But it's fun. And when we met Alice this last time, he said he gave a glowing recommendation for the psychosurgical coat because he's used it over 130 times. The first one,
160 last count.
Yeah, and it's still holding up, so we're pleased with that.
Nice. Now, I have to ask the question, is the coat that Alice uses a special custom coat, or is it a, shall I hate to say, standard coat that you sell?
It's a standard off-the-rack coat. We just added a bunch of Velcro so he could rip it open, you know. But aside from that, it's made like everybody else's.
Very cool.
Maybe if there's any way you could get Alice to do a recommendation, and we can use that in our next commercial for you guys.
We have one.
Yeah, we've got one recorded, but, you know, I don't know.
I have to make Tom give it up. We do have a recorded video of it.
All right, I'm gonna drive up there, and I'm going to drag it out of here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just working for the guy, you know, so I hate to...
Yeah, but that's a heck of an endorsement for the quality of what you guys do.
Sure.
Seriously.
He basically said, it's worthy.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Now, if he was on his hands and knees bowing, then you got gold.
That doesn't translate too well to radio, though.
No, but we can sure as heck throw a voiceover on it. Oh, my God, he's bowing. Bah, dun, dun.
We could add that, even though he didn't.
We could. You know, I mean, you know, that's, you know, that the magic of radio.
He's such a nice guy, he'd probably do it anyway.
Nice.
Well, now let's
see if you can get Alice to allow us to use his music. Now, that would be the thing.
Oh, dude, tell me about it.
Hey, I'll ask his assistant.
Yeah.
I'll put it on my notes.
All right, now let's turn this around and let's ask Nez the same question. Nez, how did you get started in all this?
I actually, same thing, home haunter, building a lot of, like, you know, really pretty elaborate costumes for myself to use in my home haunt. And then I was a frequenter of the Halloween L list on the Internet, started back in 1997, and some of my compadres on the Halloween L started hitting me up to make costumes for them. Most noteworthy would be Deanna Roberts, Deanna Witchy Poo, from Makeup Vamp. And
we love her.
Yeah, everybody knows Deanna Witchy Poo. So she pretty much became a very, very regular customer and started, I should say, pushing me to mainstream and offer my products to the general public and just do nothing but custom work for people. And I did some work with the Ironstock trade show, helped them with their fashion shows, showed a lot of product at their fashion shows and otherwise, and everything just kind of has taken off from there. Most recently, I've been collaborating a lot with a pretty well-known young lady photographer I know of Columbus, Ohio, named Laura Dark, and she loves my wardrobe. She loves my stuff, and so I've kind of segued not just in as far as costuming goes, but kind of segued over to the gothic industry as well because it translates well back and forth. And she keeps a pretty sizable stock in her studio, puts it on all the models that come through. There's been a lot of publication, especially over the past year. We were published in Auxiliary Magazine and Gothic Noir. Actually, this month we have a pretty large feature. It's a collaboration between myself, Laura Dark Photography, and Atelier Gothique Jewelry, and that is going to be coming out in Gothic Beauty Magazine this month. And so that's a pretty big deal because that's nationwide publication, and it's something we were all really working hard toward, and they finally took our pictures and took our interviews, and we're pretty pleased with what they ended up with, so we're really looking forward to that release. But And Laura and I, we work constantly. We're constantly collaborating, constantly working on new concept work, because the concept work is the fun stuff. I can make things for customers as the day is long, you know, hey, can you make me this costume? Hey, can you make me this costume? But the really dark concept work that we do that's kind of outside the box and, generally speaking, relatively blood-soaked is really fun, totally indulges in my dark side, and we've had quite a few of the more popular haunts up north becoming very interested in the darker, more decayed, more distressed, and definitely gorified costuming that we're doing at this point in time. So that's basically where, from point A to point B, that's where I'm at this point.
I've got a question for you.
What's that?
Do you hate distressing the stuff that you've just made?
Mm-hmm. Do what now?
Do you just hate distressing the stuff that you've just made?
Actually, that's the part I look forward to, because I make these great big huge gowns. The only thing I hate about it is that it's time-consuming, and I have a tendency to destroy my husband's workshop in the process, because
yeah.
I touch his tools, as you say. You can take that in any direction you want to, straight into the ditch if you want. But it's usually kind of funny, because I'll fuzz up his shop really bad. Because
you make them up all clean and pretty and nice and new and...
Yeah.
And then you take a belt sander to them.
Absolutely, and I'll take a bench grinder to them, I'll take a belt sander to them, I'll take a rasp to them, and even then I'll stand back and I'll look at them and go, no, I'm not done yet, and I'll attack it again. And actually, that's kind of me really following my bliss, because I really like to take these great, big, huge, beautiful dresses and just shred the hell out of them. And I just like, yes, that's exactly how it should look. Now let's dump a bucket of blood on it.
Yeah, that's how it should be, but I have a hard time doing it.
No, do you? See, for me, it's kind of clean and pretty. I've done clean and pretty for so long, and I don't mind doing it for my customers, but I really love it when my customers come to me and say, make me this huge Marie Antoinette-style gown, and then I want you to distress the hell out of it. And I want you to bloody it up. And then I just kind of do that mad cackle that I do, and I go, yes, you know, kind of excellent, and roll from there. No, I love it. I love it. I don't mind tearing them up. Actually, you know what? The first couple of times I did it, it kind of freaked me out, but now it's like, it's cathartic. Probably keeps me from killing people, actually, the fact that I get to destroy costumes every now and again.
We'll make sure to edit that part out.
I like to make it clean and pristine, and then let these guys tear them up and show me pictures, you know, because I like to see what people can do to them.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, and people will sit there and they'll tell me, you know, I want you to make me this wonderful gothic gown, but, you know, when it gets to me, I'm going to distress it. I'm going to do this. How do I do this? And I try to explain to them how I do it. And then they go, well, can I just pay you an extra $20 to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can pay me to do. You can pay me to destroy your dress. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll take that money.
Well, I do have a quick question about distressing, but I do want to remind everybody that they are listening to the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, and we shall be right back.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie prompts 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown prompts, the frozen meat locker prompts, the deadly doll prompts, the creepy killer prompts, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. CreepyCollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
All right, we're back to the Roundtable of Terror talking costuming here on the Big Scary Show with Tom and Anita Sowers from Von Caron and Nez Wilburn from Dark Spectre Custom Couture. And Nez, I had a question for you, and I guess Tom and Anita too, about distressing. I remember seeing on the on one of the forums long time ago about distressing, and they were asking about the various ways to distress. And for those that don't know, distressing a costume is basically making the costume look old and ripped and faded, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. But there were some really neat ideas that were thrown out there. Now, I heard the word belt sander used a couple of minutes ago, and I've seen people who take wire brushes.
Mm-hmm.
I have distressed costumes by literally burying them in the backyard for about 3 months.
Yep.
And that worked.
And I've also tied shirts to trees outside and just let them weather. I mean, do you guys do that kind of stuff, or do you prefer doing, I say, mechanical means to distress your clothing, or do you like doing it the natural way, I guess, for lack of a better term?
Me personally, I do all of the above. It really depends on the timeline that I have in hand regarding getting product to a customer. So if I don't have a huge long timeline, then I'll go ahead and do that. Because sometimes, you know, and the bury it in the yard and the hang it from a tree thing has a tendency to wear down the fabric so it doesn't end up as durable
right.
at the end of the day.
It's all about hanging out in the sunlight.
And you bury them in the yard and it starts a decaying process, a natural decaying process, which looks wonderful,
yeah.
but it does not enhance durability whatsoever.
Most of the time I do it, it's for a season at best, if I'm just going to be a zombie or
right.
something like that. And, you know, I take a heavy flannel, dig a hole, throw it in there, dig it up about 3 months later, clean it very carefully. And
right.
it looks great. Sometimes the mold that's on there stays on there and just
exactly.
looks black and spotted. And, it's realistic. It's all get out. But you're right. It does tend to disintegrate if you wear it too much. So
yeah,
never
and
had
I
one
mean,
disintegrate
for,
on the job, thankfully, because nobody
right.
wants
and
to
and for
see
zombie
that.
Wear, especially if you're doing layers, you know, having that outside layer be more disintegrated is not necessarily a bad thing. It adds quite a touch of realism to the whole thing. I have a tendency to, as opposed to hanging out in the sunlight to sun fade it or whatever, I'll have a tendency to maybe use a little bit of bleach or I'll tea dye something. And I've even been known to break my airbrush out and add all the finishing touches via airbrush.
Yeah. Or something.
Spray it down with acrylics.
Just hang it on the hook and spray
yeah.
paint the heck out of it, you know.
Oh, yeah. One of my, as a matter of fact, one of my dress forms is kind of, it's ruined because that's the one that I put the gowns on, take outside, and that's the one that's got perma-blood and paint and all kinds of nasty goodness all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got some of those.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I sacrificed one dress form for it, and that's the one that I use for it, and, but, yeah, you know what? I agree with all of the above. Anita, I'm going to throw that at you, actually. Let's get your feedback.
Well, I don't. All I do is the bookkeeping.
Keep me on track. Not a
usually,
easy job.
Usually when Tom goes to distress something for somebody, like he says, he waits till the last minute. When he made costumes for us 1 year, we went as Lizzie Borden and Jack the Ripper. Part
mm-hmm.
of them was supposed to be, you know, normal, and the other half supposed to be bloody. And he waited till like 2 days before we took off before he would actually put blood on them. So it is really painful for him to do that. But we do have that gnawed line that he's done for others where he bloodies them up and, you know, makes it look like they've had their arms ripped off or bitten off. And I think most of what he does has got to be fast.
And it's all mechanical, you know.
Don't have time to let it sit in the yard or
no,
whatever. It's got to be quick. So.
And then I hit the, you know, airbrushes and just lots of perma-blood and goo.
Right. I know at one point in time I actually tasked my sons with tying a skirt to the back. It was a like three-layered skirt. I had them tie it to the back of the four-wheeler and drag it up and down a gravel road like a bunch of times until it was frayed the way I wanted it to be. And it was still really durable because the waistband and everything was still intact, but the whole like from right above the knee down was shredded and tattered just perfectly.
Yeah.
It really came out pretty cool. And I have been known to shotgun a costume before too.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't had that opportunity yet.
That's kind of fun, too.
Absolutely. I used to way back in the day, there was in my parents' house, my first Grim Reaper costume hung on a rack in the coal bin. The coal bin was just a little room in the front of the basement that was dirt floor, and that's where I kept it just to keep it smelling right. You know,
that dark, musty smell.
Yeah. And no matter what you did to it, you couldn't get that smell out once it hung there for a year. Mm-hmm.
Well, that leads to
I was going to say, when you live in the swamplands, it doesn't take much. Hang it outside for a couple of days and let it get rained on, and it's going to stink like that.
Yeah.
That does lead to an interesting question. Not just for you guys, but for people who are planning their costumes, and, you know, it's never too early to start planning your costumes for this year. What are some things people can do to make their costumes more realistic, whether they're a zombie, which is big, or a werewolf, or anything? You know, you mentioned the permablood, which I assume is your blood of choice. I've used regular studio blood, and every time it goes through the wash, my shirt turns pink, which is not as realistic as you want it to. But what can General John Q. Public do to really improve upon their costumes? Just some minor tips and tricks for smells or looks or stains or things like that.
I think you need to use the real thing instead of using cheap products to start with, and then make sure you distress them in the areas that are appropriate. You know, if you got skinned up knees, your knees should be skinned up, not your shins, you know.
No, I agree with you there. And as far as permanency goes, you can't go wrong with acrylics. You can go and buy craft acrylics and apply, you know, I've applied with my hands, I've applied with sponges, I've applied with, you know, just wadded up fabric, kind of dipped it in the acrylics and done what I needed to do. But the whole point is layering and depth, because a distressed garment is going to have a lot more elements to it. It's not just going to have brown splotches somewhere. There's going to be some brown, there's going to be some black, there's going to be some green. The whole point is just to kind of have fun with it.
Right. A little silicone to keep it looking, clear silicone to keep it looking kind of gooey and places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I was doing some research on it the other day, because I'm out of permablood at this point in time, and I need some quick. I actually was looking up some different quote-unquote recipes online, and you can buy the clear acrylic gloss medium and mix your pigments or your paints up with that, and it'll stay shiny. So you don't have to worry about it dulling down quite so much.
Sometimes the stuff is so hard. The permablood for costume use is, you know, it gets hard. And
is it really stiff? I haven't had a problem with it being stiff, but I don't use a lot of it. A little goes
on our gnawed line. We, you know, it's basically just soaked, you know. And
right.
The stuff does get pretty rigid, and you know, if you don't wear something underneath it, another layer underneath it, it'll scratch you up, and so it.
We haven't had any complaints.
No, it's kind of a, you know, double edged sword. It looks great, but it has its drawbacks. But
right.
Yeah, acrylics, you know, especially if you're going to airbrush them on in multiple layers, you know, it you can't go wrong.
Exactly. I mean, even just kind of like taking it a little bit more on a watered-down level and spattering, you know, that works well, too, because goodness knows my workroom floors looks like a massacre has taken place in there because of all the paint splatter.
Yeah. I try to do all mine outside in the backyard when I can.
Yeah, I try to, too, but I got in trouble for getting paint on the concrete, so I just keep it to my workroom floor. It's okay.
That's
character. I have clients that call my workroom the dungeon now because of the way that the floor looks.
I have a question for both of you, and the question is, what is the most unusual request you've gotten for a costume?
Oh, that's going to take me a minute. I'll let them go first.
Tom?
Huh. I don't know.
I'm sorry, what was the question, Jim?
Most unusual request for a costume.
I don't know if this is the most unusual, but Tom first started out, somebody wanted him to redo a Frankenstein costume.
Oh, geez.
And it was so badly done to begin with, he almost redid the whole thing. I mean,
it was The guy made it in college, 25 years ago, and he wanted to hand it down to his son, who is now in college, so he brings it up, and it was just a mess. It's what I call a bag costume. You lay on the ground on a sheet and cut out around it.
Right.
And it was so old, and they'd build it over top of an old dress suit, and it was just, still had the straight pins in it from, 25 years ago that were all rusty.
Wow.
It was naturally distressed, from the years. So Tom generally likes working on, custom costumes or working with somebody that wants to collaborate, create a costume, and then he'll help you with it or whatever. But when it comes to, that was rather hard for him. It took a while to get what he thought was, as good as he could get it. So I would think that might have been the...
Yeah.
Yeah, and the knowing where to stop on such a thing, because I've had people hand me an item and say, this is what I want you to do with it, something that they owned, a wedding dress. Okay, maybe my most unusual is actually, I want you to take this wedding dress, and I want you to do this with it. And I sit there and I look at them and go, you spent a lot of money on this wedding dress. Are you sure? Are you really sure you want me to do this? And then just getting to that point to where I can make that first cut is, like, agonizing to me.
Yeah.
I just sit there and I go, oh, my God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I just want to send it back to them. Am I really going to do this?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to do it. And then finally, actually, one case in point, it took 4 shots of tequila before I could make the first cut in it. And then I just slashed it, and I went, okay, I'm good. Here we go.
Somebody doesn't sue me, but this is how it's going to go.
It's going to go now. But, yeah, that's actually probably my most unusual request, was getting handed a wedding dress and being told to make something specific out of it, and me not being able to cut into this thousands of dollars wedding dress, and it was really kind of stressful initially. I stared at it for a week. It sat on a dummy in my workroom up on top of the table, and I stared at it for a week going, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm going to send it back. And then finally I did it.
We get, we've got the straitjacket thing going on, so we get a lot of requests for, custom straitjackets and
mm-hmm.
weird stuff, and which is okay. That's what we do. So.
Fluff. The latest costume that Jeff Walker is wearing as Fluffy is a custom suit that Tom and Jeff worked together on, and that was very rewarding for both of them because Fluffy, Jeff designed it, and then Tom
right.
put it together. And I think that's the kind of things that Tom
likes. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I like working with people to, come up with something that they really want,
Exactly, and that's what I like, too, is the more customer feedback I get, the better the product end product ends up being. It ends up being exactly what they want and exactly what you don't mind doing at
right.
the end of the day. Yeah, those collaborations are always way more satisfying and way more fulfilling, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that the time is ticking away, and we're going to need to start winding this down in a few moments. So any final questions for Tom and Anita or Nez?
I have one for Nez.
Yes, ma'am.
Tom's clothing that we do, that he does is more, women can wear it, but it's more, manly.
Right.
And he likes to make fitted outfits, and... it's very difficult to make a pattern for a woman.
Right.
Where
right.
How do you do that?
You work with women a lot. You work with women's clothing a lot, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do. And, what's really kind of funny is I actually prefer to do men's wardrobe over women's. And the men's wardrobe actually has more... requests for it, to be honest with you. Men have a much harder time. That market isn't exactly fulfilled, we'll just
right.
say that. But as far as the women's garb goes, I don't reinvent the wheel. I really don't. I will sit down with the pattern books, and I will find my basic elements that I'm looking for and get them, and then I will tweak them appropriately and just add a lot more strength to it. For what it is worth, I've actually been working on, I'm drawing up at this point in time, and this is right in your ballpark, a corset straitjacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where the arms actually will strap down to the corset, among other things, and lots of straps and lots of buckles and a neck corset that goes with it, and a lot of rugged stitching, very kind of Frankenstein-looking, but all in canvas. And that's a concept that is currently kind of in the works, working on the design aspect of it at this point in time. So, but, yeah, I could definitely see a market for a more feminine psychosurgical coat, a more feminine straight jacket that is a little bit more to the sexy side, by all means. I could see some underbust, like, straight jackety type stuff. But, you know, we're going over to to my little dark fetishy side at this point in time, so.
Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of keep... I'm trying to keep it more mainstream because
right.
I want to just expand our product line, too.
Right, exactly. And as far as the women goes, just keeping it, yeah, a bit more form-fitted because they kind of want to show their shape off some more. And
mm-hmm.
I know that's basically what they're going for. But like I said, I really try really hard not to reinvent the wheel if I can help it, because it's incredibly time-consuming to do so, especially when everything out there has already been done
right.
on one level or another.
Absolutely.
And it's just a matter of finding those elements and putting them together. It's all big pieces to a puzzle
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Any final questions, guys?
Yeah. Quick question to you guys. What's your favorite genre to work with?
Oh, my favorite genre is vampires. I love Victorian vampires. I mean, I really do. And preferably, like, the darker the better. I'm a huge fan of, you know, obviously the New Orleans vampires, the Vampire Lestat, all of the Anne Rice vampires. And I have a tendency to really love to do that kind of costuming. So any chance that I get to do it, I jump in with both feet because I love it.
I was going to say, if you said sparkly, we're going to have a little talk.
No sparkles. Sparkles do not, no. No, no, no. The bloodier, the better.
So there's no glitter in your workshop?
No, there's no, no. When glitter ends up in my workshop, I'm usually aggravated because that means I'm working on a prom dress and the glitter gets on everything. And it generally ends up spread all through the house, and I'm usually pretty unhappy at that point in time. No sparklies.
There's glitter in our house means I got a stripper problem.
I was
going to
say,
Anita.
You a card. Look, a card. But tell me, what about you guys? I mean, you know,
I'm kind of a colonial freak, so I like that era. I look more at eras than genres myself, you know,
mm-hmm.
periods in time, but.
Yeah, you're a historical junkie, too, then.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys delved into, like, the steampunk type of stuff?
Absolutely.
Well, a surgical coat can go either way. You know, if you take a look at it, it's basically, you know. That.
It all has the same cuts to it. Absolutely.
Right.
It all has that same exact look. And with the crossover breast on the front and everything, that's very steampunk, and it's incredibly popular right now for what it's worth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do a lot of steampunk, mainly because I do a lot of custom corsetry as well, and because I do a lot of Victorian and historical, I get a lot of orders for steampunk all the time, and I really do enjoy it because it's very cool. It's taking that normal historical costume and then switching it over, and I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to take a period and turn it into something that it's really not, you know.
But right.
Changing fabrics or something, you can make it.
Oh, yeah, just adding leather, adding metal, because
they
didn't do that back then, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Add more straps, make it more industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the time is ticking away, and it doesn't stop for us, even though we are a very important part of the media, right? So anyway, let's wind this down with the part of the roundtable we affectionately call the plugs. If you have a website where you may be making some convention appearances, we'll start with Tom and Anita this time. Where are you going to be appearing, vending all your products, taking orders, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, we're going to have a booth at Transworld March 7th through the 10th. And we can be found at www.voncharon.com, and that's voncharon.com. And, of course, we'll take orders all year long there.
Yes.
Oh, all righty. And you can find me at the Dark Specter website, www.darkspectre.com. That's darkspectre.com. And I'm all around Facebook on the Dark Specter Custom Couture Facebook fan page. You'll see a lot more of my current works there, to be honest with you, because my web monster doesn't update the website regularly. Fired. And I do have an Etsy store that I occasionally put sample pieces in. The pieces that are shot for the magazines go in my Etsy store, which is www.etsy.com/shop/darkspectre.
Excellent. Well, guys, this has been a very fascinating conversation on the topic of costuming. You know, it's not all just throwing on a pair of overalls and camouflage and pretending you're a hillbilly vampire something or other. It's a whole lot more than that, and we definitely want to thank Tom and Anita Sowers from Troy, Ohio, from Von Caron Productions, Nez Wilburn in Newberry, Florida, of Dark Specter Custom Couture, for being on the Round Table of Terror with us, as well as our four co-hosts, Storm.
Look for me as a sexy zombie at MHC after this conversation.
Oh, Lord. The unknown scare actor.
You may see me in a Nez Wilburn creation at Halloween Extreme.
Yay.
The haunt rocker Jerry Vane.
I already brought sexy back. What are you guys talking about?
My name is Drew Badger, not sexy at all. This is the Round Table of Terror, here only on the Big Scary Show.
It's time for Transworld, and we have your ability to win prizes from Deskmade Designs. And we're doing it with Transworld Bingo. Print out or get your Transworld Bingo card from Deskmade Designs, Big Scary Show websites, or from our Facebook pages, or come by and see our booths at the show. You'll be able to go through, check off the tasks as you complete them, hand them in to booth 227, and be entered to win an awesome prize. Transworld Bingo, see you there.
The Arkhams, the art of getting even on the Big Scary Show.
I'm getting even. This is my masterpiece, you see.
you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. We're going to continue on with the five basic fears. Loss of autonomy. Fear of being immobilized, paralyzed, restricted, enveloped, overwhelmed, entrapped, imprisoned, smothered, or controlled by circumstances. Now, I know all of us have experienced one of those in some form at one time or another. Perhaps you're overwhelmed by work. You feel entrapped in a relationship. Your circumstances are completely controlled, especially if you're walking through a haunted attraction. Because we haunters, we control those circumstances. From the path of the haunt to the actor standing nearby or in the way that you've got to get by, to that prop that you're not quite sure if it is a prop or if it's a real person. These things take away your control and give you that fear of loss of autonomy. Another way to put it is to call it claustrophobia. But it also extends to social interactions and relationships. Next week, we're going to go on to the fourth of five basic fears, and that one is called separation. But now I want to mention another fear, and this fear I just kind of made up because it is con season. You've got Transworld coming up, you've got HauntCon, you've got the Midwest Haunters Convention, you've got National Haunters Convention, you've got West Coast Haunters Convention. There's just a whole slew of conventions coming up, starting with the big daddy Transworld. Well, the fear that I have created is called Miss a Haunt Convention Phobia. And not the best of words, but hey, you get the point. And that is fear of missing a good haunted house con. Interacting with your friends, making new relationships. You don't want to miss these cons if you can. For the business owners, it's going to be Transworld. For the social interactions, Midwest Haunters Convention, HauntCon for education, the list goes on and on. The bottom line is try to get to at least one of these cons if it is within your power. I think it's worth your while to experience one of these and not suffer from Miss a Haunt Convention Phobia, or whatever it was I said earlier. Anyway, you get the point. Catch you next time.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something. Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCharon, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
And you're at another part of the Big Scary Show, listeners, where we're going to talk to somebody in the haunt industry. And if this voice sounds a little bit odd, yes, you're right. And I'm not going to mention his name because he told me not to, because he doesn't want anything to do with this interview. Just kidding. He was actually busy. Anyway, the unknown scare actor along with Storm, and we are talking to the one and only Shane Dabbs of the Insane Shane Party. If you have been in this business for any amount of time, his name is synonymous with a big party at Transworld. Shane, how are you down in Huntsville today?
I'm okay, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great. Storm, are you still with us?
I am still here.
Still here and digging yourself out of about 10 feet of snow, right?
Still digging, melting. I haven't plowed the rest of my parking lot, but at least I have power now, which is a good thing.
Okay, well, let's get back to Shane here. Shane, again, like I mentioned, the Insane Shane Party is synonymous with Transworld and has been for a few years now. What's in store for everybody this year? Any new surprises?
Well, you know, we always try to surprise and bring something to the show that, you know, that everybody will enjoy. I think, you know, a big part of this is, you know, we always cap at least 40,000 in cash and prizes away. I know in the past, their silicone masks have always been a good thing that people want to win. CFX has always been, well, from day one, been a huge supporter. But I think we've got about, 10, 11, maybe 12 silicone masks this year. Of course, there's several silicone mask companies. But, you know, just a wide variety of stuff like we always. I love to see people win stuff. That's the fun part of it for me. The rest part of it's more politicking, I think, than anything else. But I love to see people, you know, win. So, you know, that's a, you know, a big thing. You know, this year we've got, you know, several celebrities that will be joining us again. Butch Patrick, of course, everybody probably knows Butch from the Monsters TV show. And we've got Gunnar Hansen that's going to be appearing. We've got Dee Wallace, of course. What's horror to me, the still to this day, the creepiest horror movie in my opinion is the original Howling. You just can't beat those wolves in that movie. So Dee will be there. And you know, if you don't get, you know, to the party, me along with Atrox will have them on the show floor. It's just kind of our way of having a booth there and giving something back to the industry and supporting an industry that has been a big supporter of us. So, you know, that should be a fun thing. They're really more there to, you know, mingle and get to know people more on a one-on-one level. And then, you know, the autographs and stuff wouldn't, you know, leave for the Transworld show floor. But, yeah, I mean, good menu again this year. You know, we've got the bar, of course. You know, the face-off bunch, they like to attend the show. So if you, the party, so if you, you know, get to the party, you'll see them. I've got to watch the last couple of years. This year I have not got to see, I think it's one going on now, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't get to see last season, so I'm a little behind on that. So it's, you know, it's just something for everybody. And the big thing is it's vendors and buyers, you know, on a level where we're all there to have fun. And you know, it never hurts to strike up a good friendship with a vendor. I, you know, may save you know, a couple of dollars down the road. May not, but at least you get to know them more as a person than standing in a booth, you know, trying to sell you something. And I think that's a very big key to this party is integrating, you know, the buyers with the vendors.
Well, you know, the buzz has been for the past few years that the Insane Shane Party is one of the best networking opportunities of the year. And this just goes to prove that deals can be made over a drink, friendships can be forged, and long-lasting relationships will develop.
Oh, definitely. You know, I've said this many times. I'm not knocking any other events. I support them all. This is not a money-making event. This is just me putting my money out there. I have to do it to secure the room and all that stuff. But it's really what it is in a nutshell. It's all the money is put back into the party. It's all about networking and making friends. And that's from day one. That was because to me, you know, there was some time where we had some really bad vendors, and you know, tensions were a little tight. And I thought, you know, what better way to get everybody on the same page is do a big party. Let everybody, you know, get a feel of everybody and make their calls from there. And I think that has succeeded well for this party.
This is going to be the fifth year of the Insane Chain Party, and, you know, it has grown from leaps and bounds each year, just almost exponentially. What are you expecting this year in ticket sales and people attending?
You know, when I started this 5 years ago, we started at Jake's Steakhouse and, you know, called up a few vendors. I think we had about $1,500 worth of stuff we give away. So, you know, it's grown. We probably had, I don't know, 30 or so people come over to the restaurant. It was really, really fun. And, you know, each year it's grown and grown. So, you know, to several hundred, so it's great. You know, ticket sales seems to be, you know, in line with what it always is. We see generally most of our ticket sales within the last week, 10 days, and I'm the same way. If I'm going to do something, I always wait till the last. So, you know, with that, you know, in comparing with year's average, we're right at, if not maybe a little bit above what we, you know, have been. So, you know, it's hard to say. We could have the same. We could, you know, it's no secret we're coming off of a technically a bad year. So I think, you know, that'll hold some people from, you know, spending, you know, the little extra money. But, you know, the good thing about it is if you win something, it's generally, I don't think we have anything less than a $300 value. So, I mean, you really get your money back and then some, even if you know, win something. And we try to give as much as we can away all night, if you've ever been. So, you know, it's a ton of it. So your chances of winning is pretty good. It's not guaranteed by any means. But like I say, if you get in there and you get to network sitting at a table with a vendor, that's worth a lot too, you know?
Oh, definitely. And, I mean, just for the price, for the type of social event, you know, you'd look for that for the general admission. What's the price point this year? And don't you also have an ability to actually reserve tables if you got a group that's going together?
You do. It's $99, and that will get you two drink tickets as well, which I think is about a $12 value. So you get a little bit back drink-wise. But that's per person. And then we've had several people request, like, you know, hey, our haunt wanted to sit together. It was so many people we didn't get to sit. We kind of spread out. So what we did is, of course, nothing in St. Louis is free. We all know that. So every time you want to do something a little extra, they're going to charge you for it. So we come up, you can get reserve a table for six, and it's $50. Or you can reserve a table for 12, that's $100. And that's, you know, in addition to your, you know, to your ticket price, which would, you know, if you broke it down between 10 people, it's going to be, you know, another $10. But that way, you know, your group or your friends or whatever can, you know, can sit together. If not, I mean, there's plenty of seating, you know, you can do what you want, but some wanted that option, and we throw that out as an option for this year.
Well, with that being said, you know, I think it's a great option that you are offering the availability to sit together, but, you know, who wants to sit together or sit still at an event like this? You want to get up. You want to be mixing and mingling and talking. And, you know, in my opinion, if unfortunately I can't make it there this year, but if I was to be there, I would not want to be sitting still too much.
Well, exactly. I mean, I can say this, in 5 years, I have yet to tell you what the food tastes like. I never get to eat. I never, you know, get, that's okay. If everybody else is having a good time, that's what it's all about. So that's my point too. I'm always talking and mingling and doing that thing. And they're like, oh, this was good. That was good. Have you tried it? And I'm like, well, hell no, I haven't. You know, I do good to get a glory. You know, and I don't drink, so, you know, that don't help me none. So, but bottom line is everybody's having a good time, then that's what it's all about.
So, translation, this year, if you're going over to say hi to Shane, make sure you bring him a pulled pork slider.
There you go, or something, you know, a piece of celery, I don't care.
Definitely, well, looking at the website, and what's the website that everybody can find this on again, Shane?
It's InsaneShaneParty.com, and you can see a list of all the vendors that have donated. You can see, we decided this year to not as put as much what they give as usually we'll put what they give and who give it, but this year we just wanted to make it a little bit more of a surprise to what we're giving away, which is some really cool stuff. You can get the menu on there. You can get, you know, all the information you need. Another thing we're doing a little bit different this year is normally we would set something up and say, okay, now we're fixing a draw for whatever. This year we're going to do it by a number system, and it'll be in a sealed envelope, and you pick the number, and then we'll open it and see what you want and make it a little bit more fun, or that way you don't know what you've won till the last minute. And of course, you know, we have the costume contest. I don't want to forget about that. That's sponsored by Ticket Lead. You know, it's not a costume party. I get asked that all the time. If you want to come in costume, fine, come. If you don't want to come in costume, don't come. If you want to come and have a good time and then go back to your room and get ready and then come back to the party to go into the costume contest, that's fine, too. It's really whatever you want to do, but we have four places, first, second, third, and fourth place that'll be cash prizes, and that's, you know, really good and real fun. You know, we got the dance floor. We've got, you know, video screens that we show a lot of the actors in the haunted houses across the country, and we play cool music videos, and it's just a blast.
Now,
age restrictions or anything for the party and getting your tickets this year?
Say it again.
Are there any age restrictions if somebody wanted to attend the party this year?
No, it's not. I mean, we had some younger, when I say younger, you know, some 16, 17-year-old. What is it to get in Trans World? Is it 16 or 18? So, I mean,
I think it's 16.
16 now, so if you're old enough to go with the Trans World, and you're old enough to get into the party. Obviously, if you're too young, then they're going to card you, at the bar, which that is something I had them to do last year. They didn't want to do it, and I've said this before. I kind of had a diva tantrum, and that was all changed. But we do have a bar that does non-alcoholic beverages, like, you know, pina coladas and daiquiris and margaritas that just don't have, you know, the alcohol in it, you know, because some people don't drink. And I thought, you know, let's have that too. So we made that work. So we're having that again this year. So I think we can cater to anybody.
Now, is there anything else? I know the party grows every year. Is there anything else that may be coming up this year that you can divulge that is new for this year, or you still want to keep it hush-hush?
Oh, I don't want to give away everything. You know, I give away some of the, you know, cool stuff, but to give away everything, to take a little bit of the fun out of it. You know, another thing that I get asked a lot is, you know, hey, we want to go over to the darkness tour. You know, yes, you can come to the party. Just know what time your ticket is for the darkness, but you can come to the party, leave, go to the darkness, come back. You can go to the darkness first, then come come to the party. I mean, we're there from 7:30 to 1:30 in the morning, so we're not, you know, going anywhere. You'll get an armband when you check in, so if you, you know, if you leave, you know, you'll have your armband. Just make sure you have your armband on when you get back, and it'll be fun.
So if you're going to the darkness, you might want to do that before the costume contest.
Well, definitely, right. Now, the costume contest is usually around 10:30 or 11, so just keep that in mind. If you want to enter the costume contest, you would want to go, you know, earlier to the darkness. If you just want to come for the fun of it, then, you know, go whatever's convenient for you, you know, and then come. Personally, I'd go first and then come to the party, but that's me.
Shane, what would, if you could put it into one phrase or one word, when somebody who hasn't been to one of these parties would show up and walk into the door of the ballroom, what do you think would go through their mind if they first looking at it?
Insane. I mean, you know, it's wild, it's crazy, it's fun, it's loud, it's, you know, it's vendors, it's buyers, it's celebrities, it's TV show personalities. It's, hey, I'm there. I mean, oh, that's worth something. So, I mean,
worth,
you know,
worth the price,
hey,
commission.
Boy, is that not a pat on the back.
So it's pretty much your, you know, after party for your haunt foot, starting up the season and just celebrities and everybody you'd hope to go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a Grammys after party, you know. Everybody wants to hit the show floor Thursday morning and see all the cool stuff. And then they want to come to the after party. So, I mean, hey, there you go.
Now, the other thing you got are giveaways, and that's been, like you've been saying, growing each year. What are you looking at around the range for giveaways this year?
Over $40,000 in cash and prizes. I mean,
wow.
We have masks, we have props, we have makeup, we have weapons, we have costumes, we have stuff that, you know, you can use for set design. We have websites to give. It's all there.
So we're talking a purse pretty much more than most of the cable game shows you got out there. I mean, this is a big-ticket event.
It is. And, I mean, there again, I have to give the vendors, you know, credit for that. They're the ones that really, you know, go that extra step and donate this stuff. And two, I think the buyers, they love to see that. And it's a good way to go back for the buyers to go back and show their support. It's like, hey, you know, I won this last night. I'd like something to go with it. Or I, you know, seen you give that away. And, you know, I didn't win nothing. But, hey, it was just the fact that, you know, you took the time and you give it. You know, I want to support you. And that's what I highly recommend that the buyers go and do.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the list of vendors that you have that have made donations, and it is just a who's who in the haunt industry. I mean, any one of the products from these vendors would be more than worth the price of admission, and have the opportunity to win something like that is just really, really got to be exciting.
Oh, it is. And, you know, and I'm not knocking any haunts. I love to see the smaller haunts that, you know, are on a budget. I love to see them win. It's just, you know, that's awesome. We've won stuff in the past, and, you know, turn around, we'd give it to another haunted house. I know Paul and them has won from Atrox before, and, you know, they give some smaller haunted house, a year or two ago, a $1,000 prop they won, you know. And so it's great. I mean, my name is on it, but this party is made up of everybody. It's made up of the whole industry. And, of course, you got Sue and Keegan. You know, Sue does all the contacting of the vendors. Keegan does the website. And quite honestly, a lot of times I probably wouldn't do it if it wasn't for them, because it's such a big undertaking. And Sue screwed up one year and said, hey, she has Greystone Haunted Manor in Texas. I think it's Longview. I think it's right. But anyway, she's like, hey, I want to help you. I'm like, really? So she didn't know what she was getting into. But she really makes it you know, like clockwork. When I get there, everything is done. I just smile like the Grinch.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an awesome event for all of you listeners that are going. This is a don't-miss event. Me and Storm, we unfortunately have to miss it this year, but next year. Next year I'm
going. There you go.
One more time, what's that website for people to check out the party, Shane?
It's InsaneShaneParty.com.
And Shane, how late can people buy tickets? Will there be tickets at the door, or do you got to buy them before the weekend of Transworld?
No. We don't do it at the door because, you know, obviously the hotel has to have an idea of, you know, how much food to have on hand. So generally, we'll let them do it up until Wednesday.
Sounds good. And do you sell out, or do you got a good capacity? Have you sold out in previous years?
No, I mean, the rooms we use generally, you know, I always make sure we have enough. Of course, this year, in the past few years, we've been in the Crystal Ballroom, which was on the top floor. There was a little mix-up, and not on my part, but on the hotel, so I opted. We've got the Statler Room, which is on the first floor, which is there at the Renaissance Grand behind the bar area, and that lobby, they've got some, you see those big cathedral ceilings in there, that goes to that ballroom. So it's right on the street level. It still has the big 30-foot windows and the giant ceilings and chandeliers and everything. It doesn't have the little vestibule area off the elevators, which you don't need an elevator to get to it. So, but room size-wise, it's still the same.
Sounds good. So definitely, listeners, make sure you're not on the other side of the window looking in through the craziness that is the Insane Shane Party, InsaneShaneParty.com. And you can also find tickets at Ticket Leap. That's one of the sponsors for a party also, right, Shane?
That is correct. And I strongly encourage you, you know, get your tickets, you know, online. I had so many people that come up last year, and we had to turn them away. It's like, you know, we just, you know, we can't do it.
Sounds good. Anything else you want to add? Anything you want to plug? Let us know, you know, what you got in store for the haunt. What are you shopping for at Transworld this year?
You know, small stuff is what I really need. I mean, I think everybody knows I got all the big toys. I need, you know, lighting and some sound stuff and, you know, makeup and costume is a little bit where I need to focus. We're not going to do a whole lot changing the show. We've had several tornadoes and bad storms here. We're in the South. It's common here, and we've got to have some roof work and some maintenance work done to the building. Last couple of bad storms has really took its toll on the roof, and we've developed a couple of big, you know, big leaks, and, you know, it's one of those things that needs to be addressed. So that's going to take a, you know, a couple of months because, you know, the building's 90,000 square feet, so it's a big roof to. I don't think they're going to have to take the, you know, do the whole roof. I think just some good repair jobs in the areas that is leaking. Fortunately, it's not affecting the haunt or the lobby or anything, but it very well could through the next storm. So definitely focusing on, you know, maintenance work and stuff that needs to be done, and they're going to get in there and get that fixed. And, you know, I guess the sad part about it, we really can't, you know, go into the building while a lot of that's been done. They don't want you in their way and liability reasons. We don't want nobody to, something to fall and somebody get hurt. So we're kind of going to have to stand from the outside and watch for a little bit till that gets done, and then we'll get going again, and, you know, we'll change up a couple of things, but I think, like I say, mostly smaller things is what we need to be tweaking.
So, you know, keep that in mind, everybody. Grab that piece of pizza, and remember, people there are selling and buying all weekend after the party.
For real, they are. Hey, and you know, and And, you know, and like I say, whether you come to my party, whether you go to whoever's doing something, you know, just support it. It's really about supporting, you know, the industry. And that's what we should be doing.
Well, us at the Big Scary Show agree with that wholeheartedly, Shane. Support for the industry is what it's all about, and everybody needs to give everybody a little bit of a helping hand when they need it.
Definitely.
Well, one last time, let's go ahead and get some plugs. Any contact information for yourself, for the party, for Disturbia, any kind of networking you want to throw out there, give the listeners an opportunity to maybe even send you some feedback.
Yeah, we always love feedback. You know, if for the party, we have InsaneShaneParty.com. You can go to Facebook and Facebook us at InsaneShaneParty. If you want to contact me personally, it's Shane Dabbs on Facebook. Surprisingly, there's a couple of Shane Dabbs on there, but mine's with the big bus. You can't miss my picture there. So that can get me there. On Twitter, it's InsaneShane1. And we have Disturbia Haunted Attraction, Huntsville, Alabama, on Facebook as well.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up here, and we've enjoyed speaking with the insane one himself, Shane Dabbs, from the Insane Shane Party and Disturbia Haunted Attraction. This is the Unknown Scare Actor, along with Storm.
Yep, and, you know, I'm going to be a little bummed. I'm not going to be there Thursday, March 7th.
Yeah, me too. But we'll be there in spirit, and we know that the one person we said we wouldn't mention, Badger, will be there.
Oh, yeah, he'll be there.
So
Shane's already got plans for Badger.
Oh, boy, yeah. Badger's in trouble.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to miss him when he throws a microphone in your face, so, you know, like.
Well, you know, there is that about him. And, you know, if you...
He's just doing his job.
You need to come to Midwest sometime, Shane. You'll get four microphones thrown in your face.
Really? I haven't got to go in a couple of years. I've had, you know, other things going on that's prevented me from doing that. But, I love to go there. It's smaller, but... totally different atmosphere, but I enjoy going there, so maybe I can get loose and go there again this year.
We'd love to see you. Again, listeners, Unknown Scare Storm and Shane Dabbs, and we're going to send you back to the Big Scary Show.
Stiff Magazine presents The Return of MonsterCon, coming to the Greenville Hilton in Greenville, South Carolina, July 26th through 28th, 2013. MonsterCon will feature celebrity guests, including guest of honor David Prowse, comic and toy vendor areas, panels and discussion groups, special offers for local and independent artists, horror and sci-fi themed entertainment, the MonsterCon Film Festival, live music by the Graveyard Boulevard, Valentine Wolf, and others, anime, sideshow performances by Captain Stab Tuggo and Madame Maybell, late night entertainment for adults featuring single cell entertainment, and much, much more. For more information, details, directions, and tickets, visit MonsterCon.org. That's MonsterCon.org. Don't miss the return of MonsterCon. Order tickets now before it's too late.
Graveyard Boulevard. Pay to get in, pray to get out. On the Big Scary Show.
A haunted house is a house of ghosts. The spirits of people who died, but the spirits of people living in a house possessed have never existed in human form. They've only existed in spirit. They're pure evil.
Tight. By a stranger with a wicked grin. Step right up into my kitchen.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. We want to thank Leonard Pickle from HauntCon for coming on to discuss his convention. www.hauntcon.com. Thanks to the National Haunters Convention for sponsoring Deadline News. nationalhauntersconvention.com. A special thank you to Nez Wilburn from Dark Spectre Custom Couture and Tom and Anita Sowers from Von Caron Productions for coming in to discuss costumes and all things haunt-related. Thank you to Shane Dabbs for discussing the insane Shane party happening at Transworld. www.insaneshaneparty.com. Jimmy Talkington and Thornweb Designs, thornwebdesigns.com. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, at hauntaudio.com. Von Caron Productions, Von Caron, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios, at screamlinestudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane, pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabbitbadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Or on Twitter at @bigscaryshow. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show. Horror, metal, haunting. It's all dark and scary. At Thorn Web Designs, we know what you want, what you need, and we will give you exactly that. Since 2007, we have been providing our customers with the best logos, web designs, and more. We can offer to keep their image dark, scary, and memorable, not to mention fantastic prices. With clients from Nightmare Zone Haunted House and Wells Township Haunted House, we are ready to give you the spoke you need for web presence. To get your quote and to browse our portfolio, visit thornwebdesigns.com.